to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Let's sing. Sing along with us on this biblical praise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. As yet it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
Today's message is entitled, What is Great and What is Little? Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
The gospel lesson is Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 13. Jesus said then, "Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Amen. This is a great lesson. It's so hard to do all of it, but I want to think of just a couple of verses. See, you and I must remember that Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples. He is speaking in words and parables that they can really understand. He thinks they can really get a hold of this. It's not so much an intimate conversation, as many are. It is more of a teaching session. And it's a place where the class members have been together for a long time, and Jesus is giving, well, example after example of what he's trying to teach. In a way, you and I are overhearing what he's telling them. Listen to his words again. "Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in very much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much." Those profound words have stood the test of 2,000 years of time and language and history and translations. They're so profound. Now, I think these are so important for us to listen to. Here's what he means. I think it's something like this. I remember when I first came to Methodist Hour, and that's been 14 years ago, there was a lady who sent a contribution every month. It was so faithful, I could see who it was just by seeing the letter because her handwriting was so distinct. Her name was Gonzella White. She's gone to be with the Lord now. But every month, without fail, she would send us 4/4 taped to a card inside the envelope. And inside that envelope with the 4/4 was also a letter in which she had She had written the names of people in her church that she wanted us to pray for. It wasn't one or two. It was a whole page, all kinds of things she wanted us to pray for. And we did, and we asked people on the radio to pray for those people. Can you imagine how much joy God must have in the very clear way in which Gonzalez lived out her faith? I'm sure that her gift was sacrificial. And I'm also sure that the time she spent in praying for those people whose names appear in those letters was just as sacrificial. I can see her night after night and day after day praying for those people. Well, that's so powerful. One of the understandings of our lesson today is that if you and I will be faithful to use whatever we have for the good and use all of our faith in that we have in prayer and encouragement for others, well, it's a sure sign that the great things of heaven will be ours. Now, do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I do not mean that if you do a certain amount of good deeds and pray a little, that will be the assurance of your entrance into the kingdom. No, not at all. Our passage into life eternal comes through Jesus Christ. No, I think Jesus is trying to teach those disciples, and of course you and me, that the attitude we have as people of faith, that is our attitude about what we have and how we treat others is in our everyday lives, is really what matters the most in the kingdom of God. It is, in fact, an expression of who we are. It's what faith looks like. It's not just what we talk about, but it's what we do. I doubt I'll ever forget what I heard Dr. Fred Craddock say in a sermon. He told a story. He said, I saw him, he said. He was in front of me in the line, in the cafeteria line. His plate was full, but as he passed the dinner rolls, he put one on his tray and picked up one of those little pads of butter. He looked around, and as he did, he slid the little pad of butter under his plate. The cashier counted the items on his tray, $7.52, she said, but of course, she did not see the butter. Now, it was only 5 cents. I mean, who cares about 5 cents? It won't matter to anyone. But then, if a man in a $500 suit, crisp white shirt, and matching tie will deliberately steal a 5 cent pad of butter, what would he do if he was doing business with you? What would he do when you weren't looking? Or what if he was your pastor, or the leader in a community, or your doctor, or your lawyer? You know, when I first heard Fred tell that story, I thought how terrible the man was. 5 cents. Not me. I wouldn't even think of doing something like that. Would you? I mean, come on. Well, not too long ago, Judy and I were both working late, as we often do, and along the way home, I stopped at the grocery store for some coffee and some milk and a few other things, and at the cashier, I was paying my bill. As I was putting my change away, I noticed some money lying on the floor at my feet. I dropped some money, I thought, but then I knew I had all the money I had in my hand. Well, I picked the money up from the floor and just kind of slid it into my pocket. Well, I could have lost it, I thought, and besides, what about all the times I lost money and no one ever returned it to me? When I got into my car, I took out the money from my pocket and I looked at it. 6 $1 bills, sort of neatly squashed together. Now, I knew it couldn't have been mine, but who would ever know? Besides, it was only $6. No one would miss that, surely. As I was backing my car out of the parking space, I could clearly see in my mind that man with the $500 suit, the crisp white shirt, with a machine matching tie, that is, just sliding that 5 cent pad of butter under his plate. Now, friends, I can tell you the truth. I stopped my car, got right out then, and took the money into the cashier. I said, I found this money on the floor. It's not mine. As I walked out the door, I realized just how easy it would have been for me to keep the money. But you see, if I couldn't be trusted with $6 that belonged to someone else, how could I be trusted with a great amount? Now, you see, if it were just the money, it would be so easy. But you and I know it's much deeper than that. It's really about the way we live our lives, isn't it? It has all to do with our basic attitude toward one another. And I mean, not just our families. No, it stretches across the world. It's so much easier for us to talk about our faith than it is to live it out. It's the big things we can handle sometimes, but those small things that really are a test of our faith, well, sometimes we miss those things. It's such an incredible concept. I'm glad that I could learn that lesson. Now, I guess I would ask you, would you agree that at the core of what is happening so destructively in our fragile world is really about how we manage our resources and our relationships? It's a matter of our attitude in the world and how we think, even as people in the United States or wherever we live, about others who were different than us. You know, it's been several years now, but I spoke to a Polish pastor. I'd been to Poland. I'd spent a good bit of time there talking with people, with pastors. I was part of an evangelism team to work with all the pastors and Methodist pastors then in Poland. But I remember he said, "John, my greatest fear is that we will lose our sense of value in these new times." Well, I asked him, I said, "Well, tell me what you mean. I don't understand." He said, "Well, you know, it's been a while now, but when we were ruled by the communists," he said, "we had a kind of core sense of caring for one another. It didn't matter what church you belonged to or what the denomination. All of the churches worked together for the common good. We looked out for each other. But now," he said, "we're becoming more worried about the things we have than we do about each other. We're beginning to look at who we are as our identities in denominations and how we rank in the system." And he said, that's beginning to frighten me. And I thought, you know what? I can really identify with that. Would you pray with me? Lord, we realize that sometimes the small things are what get us. Words we say or attitudes we have toward people we don't even know. How it must break your heart to know that you want to trust us with so much, but if we can't even do the little things, why would you consider us for the big things? Help us to claim you in our lives today. In the name of Christ, amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Dear friend, all of us have painful memories of times we've failed the Lord. When those stabbing thoughts come, we must remember the forgiving grace of Christ. He says, "I will remember your sins no more against you. I will bury them in the deepest sea." If God promises to forget our sins as we repent and ask forgiveness, I don't believe he wants us to torment ourselves. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. You know, this morning as I was preparing for you, I received a text message from a friend. He knew I was preparing to preach in a couple of days, and, well, the note was short and kind and very meaningful, especially because it was so unexpected. It really made my day. And since I was working on the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, I couldn't help but think about Paul being in prison for several years and how much he missed that church. That meant so much to him. And I thought of my own church. You know, it's incredible how close you can come to some persons in your church. I mean, they're like family, real family. And I must confess, I started thinking about persons who listen to our program. You and I know that there are thousands of persons who do not have a church home. One person wrote to me and said, "Well, I listen to Methodist Hour on Sunday morning. Well, that's my church." And I so appreciated that, but I wish that he'd had a church family. I've long since learned that church isn't a perfect place. But you know, it's the best we have. We're all trying to learn how to live life more effectively. And I think church is one of the best places we can do that. You know, we pray that our broadcast will encourage persons to find a church, a place to belong. And I want to thank you for helping us do that. Please go to our website, find our address, and write to us or call me. MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com, or call, text me at 678-488-2162, 678-488-2162. The Lord's blessings just pour all over you today. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.